Greetings, parishioners. Welcome to This Week in Mormons, where we bring you Mormon news and issues and commentary and have a rip-roaring time doing it. I am your host. My name is Jeff.
We like to be known for our missues, we call them. Mormon issues. Missues, Jeff.
Our missues. Sometimes we talk about mipsters and...
Yeah, we talk... And Mormons... That's not as glamorous as mipsters, I guess.
No, it's pretty much the same thing.
Still very nice. So, Jeff, you'll be interested to know, my internet, I'm getting almost 4 megabits per second.
That's because you...
This is quite exciting.
That's because, I think, one, don't you have DSL at the shop? And two, I think you're in one of the big rooms instead of upstairs elsewhere where it's better.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's actually accurate, yes.
Comcast is just failing us. So right now, Al and I are united by nothing more than our phones. My Galaxy Nexus and hopefully your Nexus 4.
No, I'm on the iPhone 5.
Well, that's okay.
But the Galaxy Nexus 4, or the Samsung Nexus 4.
No, it's the, you have is, the, you, no, you have the, your Nexus also, 4 is built by LG.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh. I'm sorry. Thank you.
It's okay.
But it's. I actually really enjoy it. I love the Android. I've made the. I also got a Nexus 5 to play with, and they've all like the Nexus line is fantastic. I'm really enjoying it.
Did you get your Nexus 5 yet, or is it still?
Oh yeah. I sure did. It's wonderful.
Man, that was quick for you. I haven't ordered mine yet. I plan to make the switch, but I'm not up to move off my contract yet for another month or so. So.
I have just loved it. What a treat.
I'm jealous. I want to get my Nexus 5. I hate the camera on my Galaxy Nexus. Though I heard the camera on the Nexus 4 is pretty bad.
No, it's okay. Cameras, all I need is like candid shots. I'm not trying to do any fancy artsy stuff. So as long as it takes pictures of us together standing in front of a burger joint, I'm happy.
Yeah, and I love fancy things, so...
I'm a fancy man.
I'm not quite sure why I don't own an iPhone, that being the case, because it still has the best camera, but whatever. What are you going to do?
That is fair.
Who knows?
That is fair.
Who knows? So here we are, folks. Al, how's your life?
Oh, my gosh. Life is just tremendous. I'm back in Missouri for an adventurous rendezvous before, Jeff, this weekend, I'm off to Tahiti.
Oh, is it finally that? It's coming up, huh? It's happening.
This was my, I turned 31 and aged out, checked out of the singles ward. And I said, well, I have to give myself some sort of a prize of some sort, consolation prize for not being wed with children and having enjoyed the pleasures that come with weddings. I instead will sit alone in the beaches of Tahiti, and then again sit alone as I tour around New Zealand. Now, women, if I may, if you married me, you would get a guarantee, a free trip to Hawaii, Tahiti even, every year. I'll promise you, we'll go yearly, annual trip. How do you not love this?
You could pay for me
an annual trip.
I've got 6 vacation days I still have to burn through before the end of the year somehow. So,
dude, no, and I quote, I will only go if Danielle goes. Jeff, I would beg you to go, but you are tied to your wife, the old ball and chain.
Are you out of your mind? Did I not abandon the wonderful woman so we could ride roller coasters in Ohio?
And again, if I may, you said if she loved to ride roller coasters, I would not have had that trip.
Well, maybe so, maybe not. I rather enjoy trying to establish a tradition of us going being boys for a week or so, once per year at least.
It is. It's a great time. I think we need to keep it going.
It's like Wild Hogs or, yeah.
Any other Tim Allen movie in the last
grown-ups.
10 years.
Yeah, all these films. This is going to be us. It's going to be excellent.
I'll be Martin Lawrence, clearly, and you be Tim Allen.
I forgot he's in that, Martin Lawrence. Yeah. Okay.
What a gem. What a gem.
Martin! Well, I'm jealous that you're taking off for... are we going to twimcast while you are in Polynesia?
We sure will, assuming I can get internet.
Yeah, and assuming we can figure out whatever on earth the time change is going to be. That ought to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be interesting, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I might have to bring some stuff to work with me and slip away. That might be the only way we pull it off. So, and by slip
work
away...
Work late one night, take an hour in the morning.
Well, by slip away, I mean sit at my desk and do whatever I want, because I'm the only person in my office now. So, you know.
It's such a weird dynamic. I don't get your job at all.
No one gets my job at all. I'm very mysterious. I'm like Barney Stinson. No one knows what I do.
That's a great analogy.
No one knows what I do, but I'm now the lone survivor. That's all anyone needs to know. It's just me hanging out by myself. It's really
attaboy. Hey, what was your week? What was your weekend, Jeff?
Well, of course. I went to New Orleans, which was a lot of fun. I'm lucky enough that I can telecommute pretty freely, and so my wife had a conference there for her work, so I just tagged along and worked from the hotel, and then went off and did, you know, urban exploring and this and that by my lonesome for the most part, because she was busy earning money and I was busy eating po' boys. But it's all fair.
Hey-o.
But it was fun. It's a very different city, unlike any other I've ever visited, and I, at least as far as in the States, I mean, it really feels like it feels almost like quasi-Caribbean, but you get the French element. In many ways, it feels like you're sort of foreign when you're there. It's kind of like going to Hawaii when you forget that it's still part of the United States.
Going to Montreal, maybe? Montreal?
Yeah, exactly. You forget that Montreal is part of the U.S. whenever you go there, of course. So, anyways, it was fun, though. I explored a lot of stuff, a lot of cool things. The French Quarter is the French Quarter, and it's fine. Bourbon Street is probably one of the worst places I've ever seen in my life. It's awful. But there's a lot of good stuff outside of that, too. There's a lot of interesting stuff in the city. And it's dirty. Yeah.
It is a dirty, dirty city.
No, it really is a dirty city. But the other cool thing is they have the National World War II Museum is there. And that was very interesting. I visited that. I was actually there for a good 3 hours. And I don't even waste my time at museums. I keep up a pretty good clip while reading stuff. But there was a lot to see. So I saw that. I saw beautiful mansions. I hung out along the Mississippi River. I took a ferry across the river. I saw lots of good stuff. Had some beignets.
Oh my gosh, I love a good beignet.
So New Orleans was cool. I would go back to attempt to experience more of it, especially because I would love to go see the Lower Ninth Ward, which was devastated under Katrina. Almost 80% of New Orleans was flooded during Katrina, and you see.
I want to go back to that.
Well, it's just interesting to see the effect it's had on the people. Lower Ninth Ward was is that poorer area. There was a lot of the famed images you saw of people just stuck on their roofs for days, for days on end and all that sort of stuff. It'd be cool to check out and just explore more of the surroundings of the city, because I was just walking, or I took some of the famed the trams of New Orleans, which has the oldest tram line in America. So there, the St. Charles Tram. It was very neat.
They've done it. They've done it.
So it's good. I did that. Then I flew back. A buddy of mine, many of you know, Dustin Homer, who hosts a lot of Sunday School Bonanza with me, got married on Saturday. So we went to his wedding and stuff, and it was terrific. Great ceiling. Spirit was strong. Remind you how true the church is, how wonderful temples are. It was awesome.
Dude, that's a good time.
Yeah, and they had a bluegrass band at the reception, and he even paid the bluegrass band to write an original song for his wife.
How did it go?
It was pretty good, and she's from the Big Island, actually, and so it was the juxtaposition of it, I guess, was sort of amusing, because they're singing a bluegrass song called Island Girl, so lyrically, you want it to kind of sound Hawaiian with just the words, but instead it sounds like Mumford and Sons, or, you know, whatever. It's very strange, but it was good.
I like everything that's happened so far. I love this.
See, look at my week. I don't have lame things to report. Aren't you proud of me?
Dude, I am really proud of
you.
Oh,
and...
Like, tremendously.
And I actually had to chase our primary children throughout the church because they ran away. So if you would have been there on Sunday, you would have seen it. You've been to our building. You know, we have primary on the second level. And you would have seen an image of me turning around and running at full blast to the other end of that hallway, this long hallway that runs the length of our building, trying to catch up to 2 4-year-olds who decided to go AWOL.
Dude, that, you know, that doesn't just happen spontaneously, right? That is a planned break. That's prison break Mormon style.
Yeah, well,
that kid had a blueprint of the church tattooed to his chest. He said, listen, I got this. We can get out of here.
Well, we made the mistake of taking them outside because it was a nice day, and we just played a game with them. And then they just would not go back inside, and then they ran away. And so I scooped up one of them, then grabbed the other one by his collar in the cultural hall. I was exhausted. Like, I went up to sharing time and unbuttoned my top button of my shirt, took my jacket off. I just kind of sat there in the back and was just like, oh, boy, all right. Okay.
You're like the father who had a hard day at work what was the Fred Savage show?
The Wonder Years. Yeah.
Come home, just work that tie loose. Ugh.
I was exhausted. And then I told my wife we're not having kids. But I was joking. I want babies.
Anywho. Oh, you should have them. You should have them, Jeff. Well, that's great, man. I'm glad you did cool things. And I'm jealous that you've been to New Orleans because I have not.
I know. I love it when I go somewhere in America that Al has not visited. It makes me so happy.
It's a rare thing. And so when you do, I mean, I involuntarily stand up and applaud you. I don't mean for it to happen, but I do. I'm standing right now. One hand is saluting and the other hand clapping.
Yeah, but look at you. You've been to Houston. So, you know.
Houston, I call it. Yeah.
That's the New York way of describing it. Listeners, if you ever go to New York City and you're in Lower Manhattan, if you want to make sure people know that you're not or don't think you're an out-of-towner, and you see Houston Street, it's pronounced Houston Street. So just say that, and people will think you're a more legitimate human.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, I can talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, they'll just think you're stupid. Well, we're probably going to have a bit of a shorter show this week. We've got a lot of scheduling conflicts and things going on, so we're going to try to hit some good stuff and get through some good content here, and then we have to shuffle off.
We got a bunch in here. We have the all kinds of exciting things going on. Let's see. Clayton Christensen was deemed one of the top thinkers in the world by the old Thinker 50.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with...
I'm not sure how that even works, but I mean, it's just a nice nod. That man is tremendous, and he's number one. He's not just ranked in there. He is the number one thinker, which I think is awesome. That guy has a sharp, like freaky sharp mind. But that was cool. Let's see. Like other nifty stuff.
Oh, we're really just railing
going on.
All right.
Sherry Dew is writing a book about women in the priesthood.
Oh, it's been rich.
It's cool. So
the book is actually called
some cool stuff, but we're skipping most of that.
The book is called creatively Women and the Priesthood.
.com.
.com. You can read 224 pages of Sherry Dew explaining her views on women in the priesthood. If you go to DeseretBook.com, DeseretBook.com, bringing you books.
Also, we're doing some asides, some mentions early on so that we can spend our time talking about the meteor things. But let's see. A church in Idaho was vandalized over the weekend. They spray painted, "You will pay for what you have done." And police are treating it as a hate crime, which is, go Pocatello.
Well, actually, I'm glad.
Take care of a church building.
I'm glad they're treating it as a hate crime because, you know what? Usually there's a question of if it is one or not because, you know, it's okay to do it to Mormons. That's kind of a very common mentality in our culture. Oh, it's to Mormons? Well, then it's fine. You're just messing around. It's just simple vandalism in this case.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's so frustrating. Like, what I don't understand is no matter what religion, a church building should just be sacred. I mean, like, whether it's Muslim, whether it's Christian, I mean, just respect people's place of worship.
Do you think it's easier to desecrate our church buildings because the buildings themselves
are less sexy?
Yeah, like, you know, they're like office buildings, basically. Like, do you think that, I don't want to say it invites vandalism, but it makes someone not take pause and say, oh, this is a beautiful structure, maybe I don't want to mess it up?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say...
Yeah, I could see that. They are, I mean, it's just a brick facade instead of, like, beautiful stained glass windows and things like that, but...
Yeah. I mean, I would say that no one vandalizes temples, but part of that is because temples always have fences around their lots. And so, and like security cameras and stuff. So you can't just get on a temple lot and vandalize it. So it's not to say people haven't tried. Because if you remember during the Prop 8 debacle, people did tag on the outer fences or outer walls of the grounds of the Los Angeles temple. That did happen.
Yeah, so a bummer. Anyway.
Another one, since we're just railing, going through all these mentions here. The Tabernacle Choir has won an Emmy Award for the first time in 20,
they did it.
In 26 years. Also, their YouTube channel gets 5 million views in its first year. So the Motab Emmy is for, I don't know. It doesn't say. It just talks about YouTube.
Really?
Well, where's the Emmy?
The Motab YouTube channel only got 5 million views?
Yeah.
They can do better.
I think they can do better. Remember when everyone kind of welcomed them to YouTube a year ago? You could make a video.
Yeah, I do.
Said, welcome to YouTube, Motab. And we were going to do one, but then we didn't. Because we're bad at promoting
ourselves.
Then we
didn't.
So that's life.
Other mentions, Todd Christensen, who was he played for BYU and then in the NFL for the Raiders, has passed away.
Now, I don't, football doesn't mean a ton to me. But Todd Christensen, I saw the name and I remembered who it was because I remember he co-hosted the original American Gladiators with Mike Adamley. Do you remember this?
No, I do not.
That's the only way I remember the name because I recall watching American Gladiators, which was actually encouraged in my family. My parents would watch it with me. And my mom would say, oh, that's Todd Christensen. He's LDS. And I'd say, okay, so there's some guy here with a very early 90s mustache and curly white man hair. And he hosted American Gladiators and was Mormon. But that's stuck in my head. But it's sad that he passed. It was complications from surgery, I believe, too. He'd been battling liver cancer, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, that is rough.
He was only 57, so it's... Yeah, he was a famed BYU player and an NFL player, had a very successful career, and was noted for being just an exceptionally nice guy. So it's... Thoughts with his family and loved ones.
I hear great things. Let's see. So Harry Reid had a moment over the weekend where he spoke about how the church is changing its views on gay rights, how the church and its members are coming around, so to speak, and the church very quickly responded to this with a statement that said, hold on. We are not changing our views on this. On the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, the church has not taken a position. On the question of same-sex marriage, the church has been consistent in its support of traditional marriage while teaching that all people should be treated with kindness and understanding. The church is not changing its doctrine on this matter. I think, obviously, Harry Reid was referring to sort of the attitude towards gays and homosexuals within the church, which is, in fact, changing.
I agree.
The views are softening. More understanding is being sought and received amongst church members and gays alike. And so that is happening. The doctrine of, what is marriage and that view, that stance, has not changed, though.
Of course.
And the church, I think, has done they're doing a better and better job. We speculated, I mean, 2 years ago, we sat back in our chairs and said, I wonder how the church is going to figure this out. And I feel like they are starting to. They're starting to be able to sort out loving people, supporting rights, supporting civil rights so that people are not denied freedoms, while at the same time supporting traditional marriage and it's a fine line, but I feel like they're getting there. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is Harry Reid out of line, Jeff? Should he shut his yapper?
This is his exact quote was, he said, quote, "When I attend church here in Washington, D.C., I bet more people agree with me than disagree with me, and so the church is changing, and that's good," unquote. So, yeah, he was referring to the church as the body of saints, not as the institution, I guess you could say. And in that sense, yeah, the church is changing, if you want to view church as a plural like that. So I don't think he was out of line. I mean, I agree with what you said. Of course, the church's firm stances on stuff are the same. And even all along, even without supporting gay marriage, the church has supported civil unions and civil rights and benefits and all of those things. And those things have not changed. But our softening, perhaps, in our rhetoric, in our outlook and the way we do things, yeah, that's changing. It's still not perfect. I mean, you do still have the things that are going on in Hawaii, which is evolving as we speak. But I think it is changing. And definitely internally, I think you find more and more members of the church either favor gay marriage outright or have a more moderated just point of view or outlook than they initially had, maybe, you know, 5 years ago, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see here. Interesting thing here. What do I want to talk about? Well, you might have seen last week, big news here, and I'm glad they're doing this. The church for a very long time has always had, we have general conference, but the way the women have done it is that in the spring, or at least once per year, there's a general young women's meeting, and then general relief society meeting is once per year on the other conference. Okay, and that's it. So now,
yeah,
after, as you can see, the tune of things changing little by little with the roles of women in the church and maybe the brethren kind of trying to work harder to get them involved and have more ownership in what they do. Starting with General Conference in April of next year of 2014, there will now be just a combined general women's meeting, and it'll be held semi-annually, and the Relief Society, I believe itself, will actually run it, if I'm not mistaken. Like, they will be...
Wait, so... There will be no, the priesthood will not preside there?
They'll be conducted by the general presidencies of the primary young women and relief society organizations. So as far as I know, no word on whether a member of the first presidency will hang out there or just be there to, you know, be a part of the action. But they're actually going to conduct things and run the show and make it happen.
So is this a move forward for women?
I think it's a move forward.
They go from two meetings to one, Jeff. I feel like that they're losing ground here.
Well, no. But they're actually going to two meetings for everybody because it was only one per year. I did not even realize until this year. I'd always thought that there were two General Relief Society meetings every year. It seemed that way to me, but I didn't realize until this past conference, actually, when my wife told me, no, it's just once per year that we do this. So I like it because we obviously have priesthood meeting as priesthood brethren. And that's not, they don't split that up between, you know, the Melchizedek priesthood meeting and the Aaronic priesthood meeting, and we only do one of them once per year, right? So why not
do
the equivalent for a women's broadcast? So I think it's good.
I support this move.
By the way, of interesting note, I have a little birdie has told me that an interesting thing with Relief Society as far as just hierarchy within the church, apparently the General Relief Society presidency doesn't actually like report to the first presidency or to the 12. They report to a church bureaucrat, which is very interesting to me.
Wait, what does that mean, a church bureaucrat?
It means someone who is not even a general authority. So the Relief Society, which is especially as of the correlation of the late 1950s, under the direction of the priesthood, at the top level doesn't actually like report to the priesthood, as it were. It's not like they're reporting to the 12 or anything like that. It's just interesting that I discovered this over the past week. It's very interesting why it's structured that way. I don't really know why.
I wonder if that changes. I wonder if that will change.
I think that's one of those things that might change in time. I think we see more change than we realize, and it'll continue, in my humble opinion.
Well, so let's see. The church has made a land deal in Florida, buying an additional 678,000 acres.
That's a lot of Florida.
It's larger than any other private holding in Florida. And now, I mean, just math-wise, the church owns 2% of Florida. So speculating about why this is, I mean, the one thing that's interesting, the church still owns a lot of their welfare farms down there. They have Orange Grove still, yes.
I believe they were
shutting much of that down, but they still own a ton of that. And so, one of them, they have an 88,000 head of cattle ranch there. They have some other big operations that support their welfare efforts. But if you had to guess why this was, Jeff, do you have any thoughts or insights into why the church would want to own? I mean, first, why do you want to own anything in Florida? Because Florida's crazy.
Let alone the panhandle. I mean, come on.
And second, I mean, what are you going to do with it? What do you do with it now?
Well, I'm not supposed to say this publicly, but I'll let you know. As it turns out, we are going to receive official declaration number 3, which tells us that Zion is actually just outside of Panama City, Florida.
You son of a bee. It is not in Tallahassee.
And so they are doing land grabs in Florida, because that is actually where we will be gathering.
They're calling the audible. They're moving Zion to Florida.
Yeah. They say, guys, we messed up. It was a simple, you know, it was just a simple surveying error. These things happen.
You know, we meant to go to San Diego and we stopped in Utah. We're not making that mistake again. Come on down to Florida.
Yeah. So just go down to, you know, Port St. Joe, Florida. Hang out.
I think it's important here. I mean, in thinking about this, the church is a money-making organization. They have a profit arm that invests their funds in a way to increase them. You know, use their talents to increase them, so to speak. And so as a profit-making organization, I mean, they owned a bunch of land in Kansas City, which everybody expected they were just holding for when Jesus came again, right? I mean, kind of like what we talked about last week, the last days literalists, you know, these people that buy land expecting to give it to the church when the time comes and things like that. The church has set a great example, right? I mean in how they handle their property. I think it's interesting too. You know, when you look at the topics that are discussed in conference, it's interesting always to note the topics not discussed in conference. Never will you hear a talk on ammo or on, you know, hoarding food or on, I mean, those talks, those kind of extremist topics never get discussed.
Yeah, we should have a talk on ammo.
Guns, right? We don't get a talk on guns. We get a talk on faith.
I'm sorry that this disappoints you that we talk about faith instead of firearms.
Well, no. Here's what's interesting about that. It doesn't disappoint me. What's interesting about it, though, is that in our personal lives, often we will put so much emphasis on these little things that we decide are the most important thing, right? We'll put our emphasis on you know, the second coming. It's coming. We got to be ready. And so I'm just going to be a prepper. I'm going to prep, and I'm going to have my camp stove and keep my propane fuel ready and— So the brethren have counseled us to do these things, but that's not the main focus that we need to have right now. Our main focus needs to be the atonement, faith, living worthily, things like that, right? So the church had a bunch of land in Kansas City. They developed it into neighborhoods and then sold that land. Like, they developed the land and sold it. If you were going to hold land anywhere for, you know, if you need to be ready for when Jesus comes, you would want it in Kansas City. I mean,
Florida.
We know that's going to... But here's the thing is when all that happens, the Lord's going to sort all that out himself. You know, if he wants that land like that, he's going to figure that out. So just use your stuff as best you can and develop and create great things and create beauty and art and promote. And that's exactly what the church has done in Kansas City, where we expect New Jerusalem to be, as well as in Florida. I expect the same thing to happen there.
I believe what's actually going to happen in Florida is a massive redevelopment or just development project. They're going to build it like a village, like Celebration Village elsewhere in Florida. It will be a master planned community of mixed use, retail, walkable space. It's going to be the next level. We're going to build like a commune. That's what we'll do in Florida.
Honestly, if they just turned it into orange groves, they would make a fortune again. I mean, like, there's a lot that you can do with that.
My guess is this will be mostly agricultural. I don't think they're going to do anything else with it.
Who's to say?
Maybe they'll build the world's largest temple there at 600,000 square feet.
It could happen.
It's not going to happen.
It could.
Hey, so no big deal, but I, and by the transitive property, This Week in Mormons... was quoted in BuzzFeed last week.
Attaboy.
You know, good old Hunter Schwartz over there. Hunter Schwartz over there at BuzzFeed, who's an LDS guy. He writes for BuzzFeed now. He has written for a lot of stuff for a while. I believe he's in some way acquainted with McKay Coppins, but he's pretty okay. We can trust him.
Oh, gross.
So anyway, he sent me an email and asked if he could talk to me about an article he wrote, which is called The Post-Mormon Moment. He wrote it to coincide with the one-year anniversary of the election from last year. And, of course, most people argued that the so-called Mormon moment ended with the defeat of Mitt Romney at the hands of Barack Obama. And just sort of talking about, you know, has this been a permanent change? What's happened since then? What hasn't happened since then? And he has some interesting stuff. There's an infographic he posted that sort of shows mentions in news headlines and how that's decreased in 2013 compared to 2012 and 2011, you know, substantially. interviewed some other people, talked about stuff and just what went down. And I actually had the last word, Al.
You often do, Jeff.
Like, I mean, literally, the last word. I don't appear in much of the article, and it's almost like he included me at the end as an afterthought, but I'm okay with it. He writes the whole article, and then at the end, it says, for Jeff Openshaw, host of the This Week in Mormons podcast, Mormons are, quote, more publicly proud than they were before. And then I say,
boom.
Then I said, we've had to be had to publicly represent and defend ourselves more, I said. I think a lot of people are being more forwardly Mormon. And the article ends. So basically, I provided the resolution to his thesis.
Oh my gosh. Jeff, you've done it.
That is correct. Self-aggrandizement, thy name is me.
You've done a great thing here, Jeff.
Anyway, it was cool. Nice of him to call me up and stuff. And heck, you know, I've never been interviewed for a venerable publication such as BuzzFeed, so it was very exciting.
Let's not call BuzzFeed a venerable publication, shall we?
They are a
generator of top 20 lists and clickbaits. So I respect them for their savvy SEO ways, but I do not respect them as journalists, Jeff.
Well, here's the thing, though. They've started with that, but they are trying to transition into relevant journalism. And the election was a big part.
Yeah, well, they've done a tremendous. They've built an incredible audience and a valuable web property. But
well, no, I mean, actually, during the election, BuzzFeed actually.
The Washington Post, they are not.
No, no. But BuzzFeed did provide pretty good election coverage, legitimate election coverage. So if you actually get past all of the lists and the clickbait, you will find an attempt
they
to
write.
They
need to buy Politico.
Well, no, Politico does its own thing. The point is, you'll actually find decent articles, legitimately thought out articles in there, if you can get past, you know, 25 things dogs do that drive us crazy, or whatever else it might be.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. I can tell that you're defending them because you love them, and so I.
Well, no, I mean
that.
I'm legitimately defending them. I do agree that where they started is still what they're mostly known for, but they're very clearly trying to build up and. A stronger base of legitimate journalism. It's obviously a goal of theirs, so let them have it.
All right. Well, and let's see. We have just one or two more. We're going to finish up here, but the Philippines was hit with a pretty disastrous storm over the weekend, a super typhoon.
Yeah, not the best.
Like crazy. I mean, 250 mile an hour winds, right? I mean, that's almost unfathomable. I can't understand what that translates into.
And to put this in perspective, the Philippines is very accustomed to typhoons and stuff. I mean, they happen there. And it really shows how strong this storm was by how much damage it did, because this is a society that's used to having to defend itself against storms like this.
So they had thousands of people die so far. But the church has done a couple of interesting things. One, they opened up all of their church buildings for relief centers. And so the doors are just swung open. Anybody without a home or without anything can go to a church building, which I think is a great association to develop, right? If you are in trouble and you need something, you can go to a Mormon church and they will help you, which is true almost anywhere in the world. I mean, no matter what your religion or any of that, if you are starving or hungry or need something, a Mormon church is a safe place to end up. Also, all the missionaries are safe, and so they've all been successfully contacted and are all right. A lot of them were evacuated sort of last minute, and so they left with nothing, which I can imagine as a missionary. You only have two suitcases anyway, and to leave both of those and just kind of run for safety and then lose all of that would sort of be devastating. I mean, that's going to be hard.
Sort of, but I think it's more
devastating.
But wouldn't it be more devastating to lose an entire home's worth of stuff? I mean, yeah, that's all.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough either way. I don't know. Is it like if you only have 15 possessions, is it harder to lose one than if you had 1,000?
It's true.
I don't know.
If I had to evacuate, I mean, I'd have to leave stuff behind, but I swear if I was on a mission, all I'd want to take would be like my photos and my journals and anything else I could replace, and my own annotated scriptures if I could. The rest of it I could survive with, but I would. You know, devastate me.
And to lose that, right?
It would devastate
lose
me to
lose your scriptures, lose your journals.
Lose my mission journals? That'd be terrible.
But anyway.
But the missionaries are safe. The church is very actively involved in things there right now. They're working hard, really pumping the humanitarian stuff, making it work.
They do a good job.
A quick thing here. I've only seen this sort of mentioned, but it seems to be corroborated by enough people that it's legitimate. So allegedly within the next month-ish, keep your eyes out, and the church might actually be dropping a new website that is dedicated solely to tackling the more difficult, divisive issues, the kind of things that we don't talk about in general conference, as Al would say. And I don't mean guns, but actually talking about the Mountain Meadows Massacre, maybe Joseph Smith being a polygamist, stuff like that. The issues that drop...
Like what was in the New Era back in the day.
Yeah, when we used to get into more nitty-gritty. But as the church has come to accept the fact that in the internet age, many people are leaving the church because of these crises of faith that come from just discovering stuff that's true, but that's never really been addressed before. And so allegedly there's a website like this in the works to talk about this. Frankly, we'll see if they do it. I'll be blown away if they really talk openly about it. It's apparently been pushed by President Uchtdorf and Elder Holland. Like, it's their pet project, as far as I know. And so I don't know what it's going to be called, nothing about it like that, but if this shows up in a month, I'm going to be very, very curious to see what it does, because that could be a big game changer. I mean, that's a huge thing for us to acknowledge that, yeah, you know, there's crap in our history. Let's hash it out. Let's talk about it. Boom.
I'm excited. I think that'll be great to actually discuss.
In another quick article,
good work,
in another
church,
quick article, a lot of your good comments about this last week. An interesting, we could spend a whole show talking about this, but a guy or a woman named Leonora Isaac of Portland, Oregon, wants to be recognized by the church as a woman. She was born a man and wants to be recognized as a woman and actually be on the church's records as a woman. It's a very interesting debate, I think, because this is unlike, I would say, I don't want to get too, you know, murky about gay rights issues or anything like that, but I feel like it is quite different from that. You know, you're not talking about someone saying, no, I have same gender attraction. They're saying, no, I don't identify as the gender with which I was born psychologically. Like, I don't consider myself that. And so, you know, what do we do in that case? I mean, the church has its official policy. They say that, no, we are born as what we are because we have spirits and all that stuff, but still, like, what do we do? What do you tell someone in that circumstance?
Well, I mean, it's a deeper issue than that, because it's, I mean, we start with the core of the proclamation on the family, that gender is an eternal trait, right? I mean, it's you're a man, you are meant to be a man. That is who and what you are. But there's gray areas of, like, you know, being born with both genitalia. There's edge cases in all of this that I don't know. I would hate to be that bishop that had to figure that out. I feel like that would be very difficult.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I appreciate people having comments about it. We'd love to hear more of it, because it's for how much we have just turned, you know, gay marriage over and over and over the past number of years in the church. We do not discuss transgender issues often at all. And so I think it's definitely something that gives me just something to think about and really consider what the possibilities could be. What do we do in these situations? And I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. Anyway, man, Jeff, what a treat to be with you today. I'm grateful that we get to spend some time together every week, and happy 197th, my friend.
Thank you, sir. We are only, we're only three episodes away from number 200.
Did you do that math in your head? You did that just now.
I did that math in my head. I actually figured it out.
Tremendous.
What I did is I took 200 and I subtracted 197.
Stop it. Stop it.
This is what I learned in school. No, Al, the treat has been mine. It's wonderful to hear from you. It's wonderful to talk to you. I hope you have a great remainder of the week, and I'm assuming we'll touch base at some point in Tahiti or something. We'll figure it out. It'll be good.
Absolutely. Reach us at contact at thisweekinmormons or thisweekinmormons.com. You can leave a comment. We are monitoring it closely and excited to hear from you.
Yeah. And go to thisweekinmormons.com. Sign up for our email list over there on the left sidebar. You know, get in on that action and join our study sesh, gospel study sesh, where right now we are talking about... I'm blanking on what we're talking about right now, Al. What's our topic right now?
Baptism.
Baptism. We just talked a lot about temples, which was a great subject of study. Now we're talking about baptism, and it's been good. So please sign up for that. We'd love to have you. As well, go to facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Pinterest. Find us on YouTube. Subscribe to all those channels to get all of the great This Week in Mormons goodness just delivered to you through every form of digital.
You're gonna love it. You're going to have a great time.
Purveyorship. You're gonna have a great time. It's going to be great.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Al. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We can't do it without you. Appreciate you taking the time. This has been This Week in Mormons, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.